podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it's me, Gareth Roberts, with a new show on the Anfield app called The Terrace. The idea behind this one is that we look more in detail at fan culture, past and present and future. Get into things like fanzines, fan culture, flags, banners, that kind of thing. We've got a few ideas on the go, but the one we're kicking it off with, we're going to speak to a couple of lads who are involved with the Spying Cop 1906 group. You may be aware of them, you may not. You should be. They're a group of lads and girls who get involved making flags, displaying flags, making the cop colourful and making us proud of what is a traditional place for support for Liverpool FC. So with me to talk about that, I've got Adam Cairns and I've got Sam Evans, who is one of the young brigade involved. 16 years old, and he's making me feel very old looking at him. Adam, start with you, mate. I mean, just explain for those who don't know what Spying Cop 1906 is, how it got started, and where the idea came from.
Originally, it was a gang of lads who just originally make flags themselves. We have our own ideas, come up with our own banners, and do our own things. We ended up becoming a group of mates through it. We'd still carry on doing it just as individuals, not as a collective. We realised if we wanted to go on to do bigger and better things, we'd have to sort of create a name for a group. It was never an idea to be considered like an ultras group or anything like that. It was just sort of a means of calling ourselves a collective so we could do things like selling merchandise and stuff like that to raise funds to become bigger and better and make the cop look even better than what it was.
I mean, there are obviously loads of famous banners, and you know, different ones will chime with different people depending on how old you are. So some people will be talking about the Joey Jones one. Other people might be talking about, you know, Igor Biscan or whatever. You know, there's loads of famous ones from down the years. It's obviously ingrained into Liverpool culture. But I think what comes across out of this group and what perhaps people forget is the time and effort that goes into these and money as well. I mean, you know, the down to the fabric, the paint, whatever, however you're doing it, it costs money and it costs time to do this, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, originally, as I say, when we just done it ourselves as individuals and as a group of mates, the amount of money that we'd be putting into it ourselves wasn't sustainable for us anymore. We were aiming to do bigger and better things and it was all coming out of our own pocket. There was never any help from the club or anything along them lines. It was just us as individuals basically putting all our time, effort and an awful lot of money into it. And it's not something that we ever wanted a thanks for or anything like that. It was something that we genuinely enjoyed doing. As I say, if we all had the ideas and passion to make it bigger and better than what we were doing, and we knew the only way to do that was sort of ask for help from others and try and get it as good as we can. But as you say, the club is known for the famous flags throughout the years, long before we come along and started doing it as a group, and it's something that needs to carry on to keep the traditions of the club alive.
Definitely. I mean, are there any sorts of big flags, big banners that people will have seen on the cop that, you know, you've been involved in making, that you know maybe roughly how much it's cost to put together, that sort of stuff, to give people an idea listening?
It all depends, really, because some of the ones of like pitchers and managers or players that have got a lot of details, and we've got to get people who can do the artwork for that. So they come at a cost. A lot of the flags have to be fire safety certificate rated. So again, that comes as a cost. But it's mostly just materials and the paint. You'd be amazed how much it costs to actually just get the materials alone, and then you're getting that, obviously, the paint doesn't cost a great deal, but getting the materials itself and the time and effort and putting into stitching them and stuff like that, they do cost an awful lot of money. And I say it, you can't expect individuals to fund it. Earlier, it is hard, but for instance, we're planning on doing one for the Porto game in the next few weeks, and it's going to cost a good couple of £100 just for one flag alone, let alone the ones we already have. I think people sometimes will go, we haven't seen any new ones for a while, without realising the maintenance costs for them alone. Sam will tell you, we must go through about 10 new poles a season for the ones we currently have, just because of the materials of them. They snap over times and the use, and you've got to go out and buy a new pole for each flag, which is costing anywhere £40 upwards just for the one pole. So it is expensive, like.
Yeah. And I guess even just like a place to put these things together. Like if you're like painting a big piece of material, well, where are you doing it? Like, where can you lay all that out? Because I mean, I remember a picture kicking around on social media of one fella. I think it might have been a Sacco flag or something like that, and he put it together himself on like his patio or something, and it gone through onto the patio, which I reckon probably wasn't popular with his missus.
Yeah, we've made their mistakes ourselves in the past, to be honest. But we've been fortunate in the last couple of times we've been given a space by the club to actually do it. That's the first time they've helped out. So just having that space to be able to do something, it's great, because in the past we've had to hire out halls and venues to do it, and obviously you've got time constraints then, because it's costing you money to hire these places out as well. But one thing that we quickly realised, what you're saying about that we always had to have the floors kitted out and laid out with covers, because we have done it in the past where we've done a certain flag and when we peeled it up we've realised the floor where we're working's now got that image stuck on it as well. So,
how did it come about, the help from the club then? You know, that's a positive thing, is that it's a good thing?
Yeah, it's a massive positive. We've been accused of stuff. You'd always see stuff on Twitter, you're in with the club and stuff like that. I can assure you that's never been the case. You only need to look at some of the protest banners we've done down the years. And that's one reason why I personally say we don't ever want to be tied in with the club in terms of funding from them, because it leaves you open to being under the thumb by them and being dictated by their rules. We see ourselves as just fans and in a way being able to speak for the fans and see what views they have. But up until lately, the relationship wasn't great, and Tony Barrett, give him his due, Tony Barrett to come along, and I think the club with Tony there is going in a very positive direction. He's helping out and he's keen to engage with fans, which is a massive positive for everyone.
And Sam, I mentioned, you know, sorry for keep mentioning your age, mate, but you know, you're 16 and it is a positive thing that, you know, you're getting involved and you want to be a part of this culture, which is goes back a long, long way. How did you get involved and what are you doing to help Spying Cop 1906, flying flags, making flags, everything?
I first got involved when the coach Greeson was going around on Twitter for the Dortmund game in the Europa League, and then realised the atmosphere we created outside was going to make a difference, so we had to go inside, knowing we needed to win to get all the flags out. So a couple of me and my mates first got involved with that, and then have just been doing it ever since, every week.
And like what you see, I mean, I'm quite far back in the cop, so I can see most of what's going on in front of me, if you know what I mean. I'm in 304, and you know, you can see basically there's a set of people that come out with the flags, they fly them, and then once the game's kicked off, they're putting them all away again, they're going off to the side of the cop, presumably for them to be stored somewhere and all that sort of thing. Even that's like stuff that people might not think about, because it's, I guess in the grand scheme of things at the actual game, it's only a few minutes here and there, but you could well miss a goal or miss some great bit of action or whatever. You know, you're making a little bit of a sacrifice basically to help dress the ground in a way that we all end up being dead proud of.
Yeah, like Adam was saying before, it takes a lot more than what people just think, because you've got to get them, put them back in so the poles don't snap, for example, because they could snap easily and then the costs are hard to come by. But then we've got to like put them back in the corner, and then everyone's got to go to the seats, which are all over the cop, so it is a bit of a hard thing to do sometimes, but it makes the cop look good, which is the most important thing.
I mean, how do you feel as well? You know, we only touched on it briefly at the start, Adam, about the idea of there being a tradition. There is a tradition. You know, you watch old matches, you watch European Cup finals, there are flags there are banners there, there's the Czech flags in Rome and all that sort of stuff. There is a big tradition of it with Liverpool, and when you look at other clubs, it's less of a thing for them. You know, you go to Old Trafford and the Stretford End's not dressed like the cop is, you know what I mean, in every respect there. But you know, they just don't have it. There isn't the same culture, and when Liverpool get to a big final, you know, everyone has, well not everyone, but lots of people will have a go at making a flag, making a banner, you know, they want it to be witty, they want it to be good, they want it to be remembered. I mentioned, you know, the Igor Biscan one earlier, which lots of people remember. That's actually Paul Cope, one of the lads who comes on the Anfield app. So fair play to him for that. But, you know, there's other lads there as well who've had a go. I mean, how important is it to you that you keep up what is part of Liverpool's identity, isn't it?
Yeah, for me, it's massively important. You mentioned about Rome, and that's one image for me, always looking back. I look at the Czech flags in Rome, and that's something that, from an early age, the image just captures you straight away. Well, like it wasn't at Anfield, but you look at it and you think it's a great sight to see. And then you'd obviously look at images of the cops swaying, not just flags, the scarves, everyone all as one. And it's just something that, as I say, it's an identity for the club. And it's not just about us. I think that's a thing a lot of people seem to forget nowadays. They just think, oh, the lads with the flags will do it. They don't have to play their own part. And I've noticed over the last 2 years or so, there's a lot less scarves on the cop. Mm. And people will say what they want. They'll say, oh, I'm not taking a scarf, it's Walter to do this, or or whatever else. They'll have their own opinion on it, or I'm not having a scarf, I'm going in the pub and I'm having bevvies and that. But when you look back, even only in recent memory, the Chelsea semi-finals, the cop's absolutely decked out with loads of scarves, and they're images that stick with you, and they're images that, for me, are what the club's all about. I'm not saying, all right, next week, everyone take a scarf, but it'd be good if a lot more people can do it.
No, it looks good, doesn't it? I mean, and not just for you, never walk alone. I mean, you know, when there was the thing which seems to have died off a little bit of just spinning the scarves as well after a goal and things like that, it looked fantastic. And it's another thing, I guess, Sam, for someone like you. I mean, you know, you've got to be inspired to want to get involved with all this. I mean, I've mentioned a few times on shows, and I'll bore people with it again here. But, you know, my lad's only 9. But already I'm a little bit worried about him, that he's not getting into it. He's not getting into it enough. I've tried taking him to games and he's a bit like, nah, last 90 minutes, Dad, it's too long, I'm bored, and all this sort of stuff. And but if you get into it from a young age, you want to spin scarves, you want to fly flags, you know, that's a good thing, because, you know, there's loads of conversations that go on about the age of the cop and the age of a lot of people. And so we need the likes of you, your mates, and there's a great picture, isn't there, of you and your mates that went semi-viral almost, because it was like, almost, and that's mad in itself, isn't it? Because it's like, look, there's young lads on the cop. Well, there should be.
Yeah, like Adam was saying before again, the people on the cop now just think it's not their turn anymore and it's got to be passed over. And we need to keep passing it on to generations, like you said, with your son and that. And it is important for younger lads to get involved and, you know, be going week in, week out to see what it's all about, going to match.
So when you've got a group now like yourselves, and you know, you're calling yourself Spying Cop 1906 and all that, and got yourself a following on Twitter, Facebook, people in general know you're the lads that do the flags, like you said before. I mean, where else are you going with it? I mean, at the times where you mentioned not wanting to be in the club's pocket, and I get that. There's been times, little statements have gone out, haven't they, about the ticket protest and things like that. You got behind that, used your sort of the leverage you've got, if you like, for things like that. I mean, how does all that work? Do you all get together and have a bit of a chat and say, right, collectively, we want to do X? Do you know what I mean? Because you haven't got like a website, have you? You haven't got like a constitution. It's just, you said before, it's just a group of people that have come together.
Yeah, it's mostly just a gang of like-minded lads. Don't get me wrong, there's plenty of things we'll disagree on, whether that be what we're going to put on next flags and stuff like that, or just things like the walkout, or if we're ever planning on doing things. I don't think we ever want to sort of push our views on people and say this is what we believe it should be. It's just, as a group, that what we think's right, and if people want to go along with that and go, well, yeah, that they are good ways of doing flags, or they've done well helping with the protest, if people see us as a tool where it can be pushed forward, then that's great. We're happy to help and do these types of things. But I think where do we want to go? The ultimate aim is not just having flags, it's just to create a better atmosphere in the ground. It's something that gets talked about all the time, whether on shows like this or whether it's in the pub. We all know there's a major problem with the atmosphere inside Anfield, and it's not going to be in big cup games or your big league games. The crowd pick themselves up for them type of games, but it's something that the club seriously need to address. We've seen the picture, as you mentioned, of Sam and the younger lads. There's not enough of that. The club needs to realise that these lads are the future. And I'm not going to start saying that people of an older generation don't deserve to be in a cop, because they've served the time, they've been there, that's what they've been brought up at. I know when I certainly get older, I won't want to be getting moved on, but there needs to be provisions in place where we are getting the youth in it, or like your son, they won't ever get the chance to go there with the mates. And I think that's where a lot of kids now become disinterested to go in there with the parents and stuff like that, but they're not there as a group of mates. And it's something, me personally, not speaking on behalf of the group, but if that's the way the group was to go, I'd love not more for us to be encouraging the club to be saying, look, this is what needs to be done. You just need to protect the likes of Sam's mates and encourage more to be getting in the ground.
I mean, it is difficult, and we've talked about that on other shows, and you know, I'm fortunate enough to be on one of the forums that the club have set up, and it's being talked about there as well. But I think there is a general view that it would be good to get more kids in the ground. I mean, you know, Sam, what Adam mentioned there is key to it. I think, I mean, I'm going to do the back in my day, but you know, it was still standing when I first went on the cop. And I could just go with, and I did just go for the first time ever with lads who were in my class at school. You know, I literally went, they were like, "Where you go? Do you want to come?" Because I didn't ever go with my dad or anything like that. And that was my first experience of the cop, standing with my mates in a spec, just to the right of the goal, to the back, blah, blah, blah. And then that was our spec then, and we always went, and like, it's much easier to sing and shout, isn't it, when you're stood with your mates? Mm. And plus as well, I guess the reaches are pointing me, you're 16 now. You probably don't want to hang around with your parents, do you?
No, not anymore, but it makes the match a lot more enjoyable, especially with your mates. Like, there's no better feeling than when you score a goal. But, like, you're all going to be disinterested if you're not with your mates. You'd always want to be with your mates, especially around about my age. So the club need to realise that's a lot more important now, than to create an atmosphere and local young lads to be around each other early.
Yeah, because it's not, like as Adam said, it's not just the flags and the banners. I mean, we're all proud of that. We all think that they look great and all the rest of it. But it's songs as well, isn't it? I mean, you know, songs are going to cut. Lots of songs, again, we've done separate shows on this, but lots of songs just come from, like, pop songs, things that are in the charts and stuff like that. Well, look, I'm 41. I'm not listening to what's in the charts. I'm listening to stuff from about 20 years ago, because that's what lots of people do. They listen to the stuff from when they were young. So I'm not going to start. I love the Van Aldum song, but I wouldn't have started it because I don't even know that song. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know it as the Van Aldum song, not as whatever the pop song is that inspired it. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm an old fella, I'm your dad. So you need that as well, don't you? That's another reason why, again, because you're more likely to get these songs coming from the likes of you and your mates. You're more likely to get a bit of the wit and the humour, perhaps, as well, from you and your mates, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that is important with songs, and that, you know, the club are recognised for things like that, atmosphere and songs, and it's something that needs to be carried on over future generations.
It's a fan culture, isn't it? It's a whole fan culture, and you're keeping alive the fan culture in terms of flags and stuff like that, but then you're forgetting the fan culture of, like, where the atmosphere come from. And it's something that gets talked about all the time, but the older generation, they forget. They were there with the mates. They could stand alongside the mates, go up, get a ticket on the day, and they're all there together. You go there now and you're not even stand. All right, you might all be in the cop, but you're nowhere near each other. It depends where your tickets are actually in the ground. But it going back onto the argument with standing, which is a whole different thing again, and going to the safe standing route, there's got to be a point where, I don't think just Liverpool, but football as a whole sits up and takes notice and think the atmosphere inside football grounds is the whole culture of football slowly finishing. There needs to be a point where, before it gets too late, clubs, the Premier League, whoever it may be, say we need to do something to reverse this, because let's be honest, unless it is a big game, it is pretty hard to enjoy at times when you're just sitting there and there's no singing, there's no atmosphere going on around you. People might think, oh, you're there to watch the football, but you're not. You're there for the whole experience. You're there for the atmosphere and everything that goes with a game of football. If you lose the atmosphere, it's not the same game.
And the annoying thing about that as well, what you've just said, is that, but you know, the club and even the Premier League will benefit from the fact that there's an atmosphere. So it's in their interest, because, you know, again, this is nothing new, but one of the things that has annoyed many fans at times is that, on the one hand, you know, there seems sometimes a real push to make ticket prices as high as possible. But then on the other hand, you'll get like the club or the Premier League marketing, look how good the atmosphere is at Anfield, or look how good the atmosphere is in the Premier League. And so with that, you know, if the Premier League wants to go around the world and sell the rights to the football, and as part of that package say, these are the best fans in the world, they get behind their team, you can hear them on the telly and all that, well, they've got to make it right for us, the people who go to match, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. And you're spot on about the marketing thing. We've been all around the premises of the club, Melwood, Anfield and stuff like that, and you see images of all our flags over there, all on, they're on walls everywhere, the Melwood, as I say, the ground, and you see these images, and at times in the past they've made it hard for us to do these things. I remember one time they come up with an idea saying that we had to wear ID badges and wanted us to wear jackets and stuff like that, and you're thinking, hang on one hand, you're marketing these things for the benefit of yous to sell your global brand elsewhere, and then the lads who are actually doing it, and you're putting the time in, you're trying to make it difficult. You've got to work both ways and think, if yous alienate the ones who are trying to make the atmosphere better, you'll lose it for good. It'll be gone and you'll never get it back. You'll turn into the likes of Chelsea, where you're handing out free flags, or Arsenal, who have lads waving flags for them who are employed, club flags. It's not football. It's not spontaneous.
Yeah.
The greatest flags on the cop have always just come off someone who's just done there and created a witty banner, and not something that's marketed by the club. And they're in danger of losing that if the way football has gone.
I mean, you've mentioned about that, you know, that there's seemingly a bit of a better relationship now, you know, aided and abetted by Tony Barrett, and that you're getting a bit of a, you know, some space now to put these flags together. Is there anything else that you think, is there another step that the club could be making? I mean, one thing that comes to my mind when you were saying that is that, you know, we were fortunate enough when Liverpool played over there to go to have a chat with the supporter liaison officer at Borussia Dortmund, and it was really interesting there, the relationship they've got with fans, because obviously they're, you know, they've got the M behind the goal and it looks fantastic with the flags and the banners and the big tifos and all that sort of stuff. And I was asking how all that worked. I was like, you know, how did they get that to the ground, because it's massive. And he went, oh, we helped them. And I was like, what, you, the club? And at times, these banners have been protesting against the club, and still the club have gone, it's still sound because there are supporters. They actually send the van out and go and pick all the flags up, bring them to the ground, help them set it up. And, you know, that's almost in our culture, if you like. That's unheard of, isn't it?
Yeah, as I say, in Europe, clubs, the relationship they have with fans, I don't know whether it's a case of that they need to have that relationship, because if they know they lose their fans, there's nothing backing up. Whereas I think for a long time, we've been guilty of, they're not bothered if they lose us. There's a big massive waiting list, they can market it. And this isn't against like any overseas fans or anything like that, because we have plenty of lads who come and help us in the corner who aren't local lads. But I think there's no fear of the club in losing the likes of this, because there's another seat filled, and for a long time the club were along the lines of, well, if we fill a seat, we're not bothered.
Yeah, we don't care who it is. Yeah.
But I think things are slowly starting to turn now, where I think the importance, as you say, I don't know whether it's because they want it to be that way, but I think they're starting to realise the importance of marketing and atmosphere. You hear fans coming and singing the likes of Where's Your Famous Atmosphere and stuff like that. If there is no atmosphere there, they don't really have anything to market. They don't have things to go abroad and go on pre-season tours and go, oh, look at this great club, look at the atmosphere we generate and stuff like that. If it's not there, it's never going to attract anyone to support us. So it works both ways. Obviously, you've got to be doing well on the pitch and you've got to be grinding out results. But if you've got that atmosphere to back it up as well, it makes it a much, much bigger draw.
And you mentioned there about sort of people pitching in, helping you out and all that sort of stuff. Is there a way, if there's people listening in who are passionate about it and want to help you out, want to, you know, put the flags and banners together, or even out just fly them on the cop, whatever. Is there a way they can get involved? Is there a way they can get in touch? Is there a way they can help you out?
Yeah, we're not a closed shop by any means, but on Twitter a lot of the time we ask for help with the flags. If anyone ever wants to come over, we're under the scoreboard, normally 45 minutes before kickoff, getting in there, helping set up. But any time up until kickoff, if people are there, do you want to come over themselves or they want to bring the kids over, if we have anything spare that's there, we're more than happy to pass the spare flags that we have out to help contribute to them. A lot of the time we have kids come on over who've never done it before, and you see the smile on the faces and stuff like that, and it's a great feeling seeing that you're making a day just by doing something as simple as passing a flag along to them, and you think, I've made that kid's day there, and hopefully he'll go home and then he'll think, oh, the next time I'm going I want to do that again, and it just builds on from there. It gets a momentum and people want to keep coming back and doing it, and then they can contribute more themselves, and they'll think, well, I'll get my own flag made, or I'll come in and say to the lads, what do you reckon on this? And that's exactly how Simon has made to come along. As he said, from the coach welcoming, that's where they first seen it, and then they thought, I want to become a part of that. And at first, Sam just used to come out, help out with us and that. And now we've got him throwing in his own ideas, and he's coming up with his own ideas with his mates, and they're coming along helping us paint them and being a massive part of it. And these are the lads we want to pass it all on to, and hope they carry on and they go on to the next generation, and the traditions of the club keep alive by doing it that way.
And you sometimes put things out, don't you, as well, just sort of saying, you know, if you've got a particularly big idea or a big banner that you just want to do on the cop or whatever, as we mentioned earlier, there's obviously the associated cost. I've seen you put out a few things from time to time to say, you know, if people want to chip in. I think you've also got like sort of stickers and badges and stuff that people can buy that go towards this fund that helps to pay for all that stuff. Where can people find all that? Is that on your Twitter as well?
Yeah, if they go onto the Twitter page, most of the information will always be on there. We have a PayPal account for donations, but in the past we've had merchandise, T-shirts and things along them lines. At the moment we've got a sticker range which seems to be very popular with like fan culture now. People, especially going to European aways, they love taking stickers with them, plastering them all over walls and stuff like that. So we're selling them, and obviously the proceeds that we get from all them contributes to the flags and whatever future displays we've got in line. Obviously we're just marching ahead in Europe and keep going on. We want to get as far as we can, and the aim is to later on in the competition go even bigger and better and have some really good displays, hopefully kicking on to Kiev.
And do you look anywhere for inspiration, or is it very much you're keeping it about Liverpool? I mean, the reason I say that is, you know, we've done some stuff around Safe Standing with the Green Brigade lads at Celtic, and obviously they've put on some really impressive displays, banner wise, tifo wise, and all that sort of stuff. Is there any plans to go even bigger or do the kind of gear that they do up at Celtic Park?
That would obviously be the ultimate aim. You see some of the displays across Europe and they're absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. To do that, obviously you've got to have a lot of funding. There's various ways different clubs do it. It's through merchandise. Some clubs have crowd funds just for a certain display and stuff like that. But we have to have the backing of everyone, all of our fans, to do that. If you want to do something as big as that, it takes an awful lot of planning, an awful lot of time. You'd need a massive help from the club in terms of organising it. It's not just a case of holding up. It comes with plenty of regulations to it, and there's been things in the past where we've had to have flags in certain positions because you don't want to block people's views, things like that. So there's a lot that goes with it, a lot of planning behind the scenes. But obviously the clubs with these fans, they work together. It's something that we'd love to aim with the club and working together to produce these types of displays. But as I say, we are entirely self-funded, so the only way we could ever get to a stage of that is by getting the support off the rest of the fans. If the support was there, we'd try our hardest to do something as good as the likes of Celtic, Dortmund, or any other club you see in Europe putting these displays on.
If you want to support these boys, if you're listening in, on Twitter's being mentioned a couple of times, just at SpyingCop 1906 on Twitter. As mentioned, donations accepted towards flags and banners via PayPal as well. If you go onto your PayPal, you can actually send money to an email address. That's how they do the donations. And so if you want to do that, it's SpyingCop1906@hotmail.com. But as mentioned by Adam there, if you basically follow them on Twitter, you'll start to get an idea about what they're about, what they're doing, and what they're planning for the future, and when they need a bit of money towards big banners and displays and that sort of thing. Well, thanks very much to Perriers for coming in today and having a chat about SpyingCop 1906 and about the culture around flags at Anfield. Really interesting stuff. Appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully people listening in will support you and get behind it, because I think, as said all the way through the show, it's really important that this culture at Anfield continues. It's one of the things that makes Liverpool Football Club special, one of the things that's special about our fan culture. So long may it continue, and thanks a lot, lads, for coming in. Sports Social Podcast Network.